It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Grizzlies. I got to admit, I got bored. The thought of John Morant playing right now against the Rockets and saying, hey, how do they handle one of the more, at least in name, dynamic players on Earth is fun as theory. But then you watch it and you're like, yeah, this isn't going to be a competitive game. And that started from the very beginning. The Rockets, just such a monster, particularly when they're playing teams who have clear flaws. You know, it doesn't help when the best player is disinterested. There was a report that Sean let me know about this morning that Kelly Eco has, that Ja and the Memphis coach barely speak to each other in games. And it feels like it came out of nowhere, but it was to the Rockets' benefit last night, where in a game where Kevin Durant doesn't even shoot the ball well, they have an easy time of it. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the league as it stands right now. And we are just recently removed by going, yeah, but who'd you play? With the Texans? I mean, the Rockets, I don't want to say it's coincidence because we thought they're going to be a really good team anyway, but they played seven games, won their last five in a row. They haven't faced a team above 500 since, and it's kind of looked like it. You know, the Mavericks pushed them for a little bit. The Mavericks can be scrappy. They are the Mavericks, so they lost to the Pelicans last night. We were talking about Derrick Queen earlier in the week because of that trade that the Pelicans made. And at least on his final possession, he made a play to get to the free throw line to help the Pelicans beat the Mavericks. So the Mavericks aren't good. The Grizzlies are in flux. Of course, the Celtics are the Celtics. And once again, Jaylen Brown rubbed his head on somebody's undershirt and it came off. I don't know. I don't know how many people are consistently on the internet like we are, but I would suggest not creating a Twitter account, because in some, I don't know if you can search without it, but maybe you can't anymore. Just create one just to see what Jaylen Brown's up to when he plays games. Type in Jaylen Brown's name and you'll see that he rubbed the top of his head. I guess he does that quite a bit. Maybe a lot of players do, but I haven't really noticed it. But he rubbed the top of his head on an opposing player's undershirt, and you saw the black paint come off again. This time was Keyshawn George. The Wizards were playing the Celtics. I guess try to create separation. He rubs his head on the guy's jersey, and you can just see a dark spot. He's painting it on.
There should be – okay, either make a Twitter account for just to – get updates on that, or you become Jaylen Brown hair paint muse.
Yeah.
And you be the tracker. Actually, yeah, like golf, where it's Jaylen Brown hair tracker. Or like, and you just watch Celtics games, give us an update, post a video if you can.
Like one of those people.
And make an all marked by Jaylen Brown team.
Yeah. And you,
Keyshawn George, congratulations. You're on the first team all marked by Jaylen Brown.
And OG Anunoby's on that team.
OG
as well.
Anunoby.
I forgot there's a third person. I forgot who that player is. But yeah, you do it like those accounts that did the Astros win today? And they go, yes or no. Then you did Jaylen Brown rub the top of his head on someone and leave a mark? Yes or no. Do that. And yesterday was a yes. So back to the Rockets. They beat the Celtics, who are okay, but under 500.
But have a lot going on.
Currently, and have their own issues. And they will get a test when they play the Spurs. But so far, they have dismantled all these average to below average teams outside the Mavericks, which was a close game. And they're just at a different tier than most teams in basketball, where they don't even have to have their A game, and they can just waltz through a game. I won't say sleepwalk, because they certainly played hard, and do what they want. 124-109, never really challenged. Started in the first quarter, where they got off to a 12-point lead at the end of one. And Kevin Durant can go 5 for 18, and it not even matter. Look, Fred VanVleet has had those numbers. I think this is Kevin Durant's first tour date game as a Rocket. We don't suspect we'll see a lot of those. When this happened last year, because the Rockets had a couple guys who could do that, they were in real trouble sometimes. This time, nah. Amen Thompson, his athleticism on full display. There was one play, I think it was Cedric Coward, who was actually going to be pretty good for the Grizzlies as long as the environment surrounding him doesn't ruin him as a rookie. He was a late riser in the draft, wound up being a top 15 pick or so for the Grizz. And he's an athletic dude. I ain't going to call him this guy, but he does remind me how he plays the game of Kawhi, just the efficiency of how he gets to his spots. And he can knock down some shots. He developed as a shooter, but that's far down the line as far as what he can be. He's a good athlete. And Amen Thompson just did that hesitation Euro move that he's become very good at. Went around him, and most guys don't finish with the dunk when they do that.
Yeah, normally that's a floater or a layup.
He finishes with the dunk.
Because, Cedric Carr, you're a good athlete.
This is one of the more spectacular athletes in basketball.
Something different.
Yeah, it's just to watch him work when they just want to spread the floor for him and go, oh, go get a bucket.
Yeah. You're like, why doesn't – obviously because it'd be exhausting, but it's like he could
do that all the time.
He could do that every
time. I was trying to think, what's the defense for that? Like, you would assume, hey, you back off and just embarrass him into shooting a jumper. Like, hey, I'm not even going to get anywhere near you. But sometimes you give a guy a full head of steam.
Yeah, it's a runway.
And it's a runway, and you don't stop him anyway. So I don't know how to defend that other than to send two at him. But if Kevin Durant's on the floor and Jabari back in the lineup and Tari shooting the ball so well that they have guys who can knock down shots. So you can allow that spacing and give Amen Thompson a runway where there's no one that's going to come help because they're so concerned with the shooter. So that was just one example of watching him go at it. And he goes for 28 and 10 and 7, a big night for him. So they move on. 5-2, good win, not challenged. You got Reed Shepard who knocked down some shots, so that was nice to see. And like I said, Tarison continues to be someone at this point who, at least for the early part of the year, is a knockdown shooter. He's at almost 56% from three through seven games. That is a surprise. But credit to him. I don't know how many opportunities he's going to get to just go out there and go get a bucket. But if he becomes someone who's a spacer, that's great. Because when we were looking at this team coming into the year, we did question where the shooting would come from beyond Kevin Durant. And he's not a guy who is a hot, high-volume three-point shooter compared to the guys who really get up threes. Who are going to be the shooters? Of course, Jabari, that was going to be part of his role. But if Tari can add that to the mix where you can't leave him, and if you do, he's going to make you pay, that's an element to his game I didn't know he had. Look, shooting that at that level, that's going to regress.
Yeah, so 57%.
There are going to be moments where he shoots so poorly, going to be upset, but that's just him regressing to maybe 40% from three or 39%, whatever it will be. So the other side of this is coming, but for right now, great start for him through seven games to be shooting that well.
Yeah, and the Rockets have already proven that, like, oh, they can survive a bad Kevin Durant shooting night. I mean, it'll just kind of depend on the night, but, you know, when the Tari-Eason regression happens, they might be able to just survive that too because they have – I mean, it's just so many options that they have. I mean, you look at a team like the Grizzlies who have, like, hey, a bunch of interesting players where you're like, oh, this guy's definitely an NBA player. I'm not quite sure, like, how, like, where he stacks up in the NBA, you know? The Rockets have so many guys that it's like, oh, this guy's actually, like, good. Like, this guy's a real, like, a starting level NBA player, and they have, I mean, at least five of them.
You're talking about the Grizzlies and the interesting player.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, Jalen Wells. Okay.
Yeah, a young player looking to develop. But Rockets have, partly because of where they've had been able to draft, they've got young players who are simply at a different level. It's so bad for the Grizzlies right now that Kevin Durant, who I would say is an expert on being able to sense when a guy doesn't want to be someplace anymore, from his own experience, and also watching James Harden when he was a net, he was talking to T. Morant on the sideline saying, "Your son doesn't even want to be here anymore. You got maybe a week left here before you're moving on." And we're talking about it before we came on. I'm not sure if it's going to be that quickly because John Morant's value isn't at an all-time high. But the Grizzlies are going to, if they do make the decision to trade him, because going by the Kelly Eco report, it's just really bad between the coach and the player. They do decide to make that decision. They're going to try to extract everything they can from a team because it is John Morant and they know what he means for the city. I just don't know if their asking price is anything that someone's going to be willing to meet at this point. John Morant has years left on his deal, so an immediate extension isn't something that a team has to worry about. But dealing with the John Morant of it all, and is he going to be happy there, may restrict the Grizzlies. Because right now, who checked in? The Kings? The T-Wolves?
Kings, T-Wolves, Raptors.
Yeah.
Are the reported ones that I saw for expressed interest or monitoring the situation, however the reporter wants to phrase.
Him going to the Kings and the Raptors would be inconsequential. The Raptors, actually the best team the Rockets have beaten so far at 4-4, but whatever. He goes up there, more guys who can't shoot the basketball who can't knock down threes. That's cool. That's what the Raptors are about. But the one that you would think would be somewhat consequential to the Rockets would be the Wolves, who are looking for a point guard. I'm just not sure when you have Anthony Edwards what John Morant's role would be. I don't think he wants to be strictly a facilitator. He wants to be in the pick and roll. He wants to be able to get to the basket. It feels like Anthony Edwards is your lead guard, clearly. It would just be, hey, let's put all the talent together and see if it works.
Yeah.
It's not our concern about the fit because we're not the Wolves, but that would be something I'd be like, huh, what is John Morant's role if you want the ball in Anthony Edwards' hands as much as possible? But that's for the Wolves potentially to figure out. We ain't got to worry about it.
No, not my problem.
Yeah.
I'm worried. I'm on to San Antonio.
And all of a sudden, the Spurs, who have lost a couple now because teams have at least
exposed.
Okay. they've decided to defend Wimby in a different way, mm-hmm. using smaller, stouter dudes to bother him in front of him and just give him issues. The Spurs blew a lead in the fourth quarter to the Lakers last night and lost a game where Marcus Smart tried to give it to the Spurs.
That's what he does.
People said that the best thing that happened to the Celtics, despite their love for Marcus
they
Smart,
they immediately won the championship.
Tossing him aside and bringing in other guys, and they went on to win a title in one of the more dominant runs in recent memory. I think the Lakers are up five? They're up five. I think a three is knocked down, or maybe they're up four, and Kelly Olynyk taps in an offensive rebound that makes it a two-point game. So there's very little time remaining, like less than a second or so, or something like that. And Marcus Smart does the thing where, hey, I'm just going to get the ball up the court. Rui's down there somewhere, and we're gonna win the game. There's no one down there guarding him. The problem is he didn't completely clear the field of play. He has a foot on the court instead of off the court on the sideline, and you can't do that. You can't do that. The referees catch it, and it gives the Spurs a chance to tie the game. But the Spurs miss a couple free throws after a foul. And it was Justin Champagny, who has a brother Jake LaRavia then commits a shooting foul. So Marcus Smart does the inbound turnover thing with the 1.2 seconds left, and Jake LaRavia compounds the issue with a shooting foul. But Justin Champagny misses the first free throw, then has to miss the second on purpose. Spurs get an offensive rebound, but there's no time left. They lose the game. Imminently winnable game for the Spurs when they're up by 8 going into the fourth quarter. That's who the Rockets have next. Spurs were 5-0. They've lost their last couple. They host the Rockets on Prime.
Cup night.
Tomorrow. It's an NBA Cup game, so everyone should be very motivated.
Yeah. For the cup. Are they going to walk past the cup
like
as they
Champions League?
Line up? Yeah.
Or I don't FA know Cup. Because I don't think you can do that because there are multiple cup games going on. It's not the final. So they only break out.
Also, they don't like line up for the national anthem.
Yeah, it's not how it's done. Soccer is very they love a good presentation. The NBA will just do their regular old lineups and stuff like that. Eric, you got in early. We see you. We'll get to you when we come back. So Rockets, 5 in a row. Got the Spurs coming up next. And you would say a game that doesn't mean that much unless you're really into the NBA Cup. But it's a nice test. They haven't played a team of this caliber in a while now. The first two teams they did play like this, they lost to. They lost to the Thunder, who lost their first game last night. And the Pistons, who I believe are now 6-2. No team like that has been on the schedule since. The Rockets have taken advantage. Now you see the Spurs. And Wimby versus Alperen and the rest. We'll talk about that, obviously, on Friday after the game. But, Eric, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Sean and I just getting started here. We'll do some Texan stuff because DeMeco Ryans talked about the trade deadline and what they didn't do. And because it's official, CJ's not playing, we're going to hear from Davis Mills as well. The number is 713-780-3776. You can join us after Eric when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here. He called in before the show officially started, so he's had to wait quite a bit. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I was just calling about the tragic news at the Dallas. Marshall Mainland passed away. I was wondering if I had any news about that. Nobody's really reported how he passed away. Hopefully, it wasn't mental health issues, but it is sad and tragic. He just scored his first touchdown on that punt return on Monday night against the Cardinals.
If you did not see the news, Marshawn Nealand, Dallas Cowboy defensive end, he passed away this morning. The Cowboys released a statement. Obviously, very sad about the death, and they reference his girlfriend, Catalina, and his family in that statement. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about how this happened, and we will just wait. Like, his agent issued a statement as well, and there are no particulars about how it happened. So we'll wait and see, and if anything pops up between now and the end of the show, we'll certainly put it out there. But it's just a lot of well wishes. Coaches who have coached him, like Robert Prince, who is no longer with the Cowboys. He's with the Dolphins now. It was just his day to speak, or I don't know if he or that he was requested because of the connection. He spoke about sitting with Marshawn Nealand when Nealand was injured as he was trying to get his career started last year. So, yeah, it's a mystery, particularly in today's world where it feels like we get information really quickly. We just don't know. And, of course, no reason to speculate until we do know. But, yeah, Marshawn Nealand, the 24-year-old defensive end for the Cowboys, passes away today in the morning. So if anything comes from that, we'll let you know. All right. So let's get to this. DeMeco Ryans had his first availability since the after-game presser yesterday. He certainly let us know that CJ won't be available. He did not do that with other couple guys who have concussions. Jalen Petrie has a concussion. So does Tytus Howard. Those two guys are not ruled out as of yet. I don't know if that's a quarterback thing where, and particularly because we saw CJ, unfortunately, flat on his back, that, okay, he's out. I don't know the severity of the Petrie or Tytus Howard concussions, and maybe there's a way that they could still make it through protocol by the time, Saturday rolls around. But it is, not, I won't say strange, just interesting that the quarterback definitely out. These two other guys were still waiting and seeing. I guess it's just concussions and their complexities. Yeah. But those two guys are gone, which now you're talking about potentially your starting right tackle out and your starting nickel out. Against the Jags team was fine. They're above 500. They're not great. We saw them up close earlier in the season. That's a game that could have gone either way. It's just a game full of mistakes, and the Texans made the most late, and it cost them the win. But that's CJ's now second confirmed concussion in three years now. I don't know how many it would take before it becomes an issue. Like, there's a prominent quarterback in the league who is always the subject of conversation. CJ, probably because CJ doesn't have the fencing position moment that Tua had on Thursday Night Football against the Bengals. And then, of course, he had another one late in the year against the Packers. He doesn't have that moment on television
where it's like super ugly.
Where it's super ugly for the conversations to be had. But it's a little concerning, and this is not blame on anyone, that it is two in a short career. And that could be something that happens to be an issue further down the line. Hopefully, there's not another one, but it's not great that it's been two in less than three seasons. We're talking about less than 2.5 seasons. He's had a couple concussions in the NFL. Hopefully, I mean, there's no way to actually just avoid him, I guess, it's aside from getting hit, and that's just part of the game sometimes. So hopefully CJ can recover no matter when he comes back and be his normal self. But so he's not playing. Titus may not play. Jalen may not play. And that means Davis Mills will play. So we'll hear from Davis Mills here shortly. But with the trade deadline now gone, the Colts made a big move. The Cowboys acquired a big-time defensive tackle. Of course, D'Amico was asked about it. Here's D'Amico Ryans on their lack of activity at the trade deadline.
Look, when it comes to the trade deadline, it's because a transaction did not happen. It's not from a lack of effort. Of course, we tried to do several things that didn't pan out.
I'm sorry.
So there it is. They tried. They didn't get it done. Of course, they won't tell you who they were trying to acquire or what position they were trying to acquire. No team is going to give you a good offensive lineman that's worth anything that would replace one of your current guys, particularly on the interior. So maybe they looked into it, but I'm not surprised they didn't get anyone there. Some other positions, I mean, outside of going big for Quinnen Williams, I mean, defensive tackle help could be something to look at, linebacker help as well. They're a team at 3-5 who shouldn't have given up anything of real value. Particularly when there's a question about how many games your quarterback will be available for. Look, of course, Jack's game's off the table. We'll see if he's available for the Titans game. So I don't think there should have been a push. I mean, they could have probably looked for a tight end, but we're talking like moves on the margins. So it's not surprising that there wasn't a, I guess you put it in quotations, all-in move. But there they are. They got Davis Mills starting. They're desperate for a win. Not a great position to be in. We saw how much the Jags defense gave them trouble last time around, and now you got a backup quarterback in there who didn't acquit himself all that well on Sunday.
Say I was inspired by what I saw.
We'll shoot him some bail. It's
different, not prepping to be the starter for the whole
all
week.
All those things, all the caveats, understand. We've watched enough football to know that it'll be different when he starts. At least the preparation will be different. I don't know if the play will be
better. Yeah, I wasn't like, oh,
yeah,
we're close. Yeah, just give them some reps.
There's nothing there that would tell me that we're going to get a Davis Mills breakout
game. But step down in defense, going up against the Denver defense versus Jags defense.
That's true, but they still got two pretty good pass rushers.
Yeah, that's, well.
One guy who wrecked the game last time around, he's still out there.
Everyone wrecks the game against the Texans.
Not the Ravens as they are constituted. Not the Titans. At least not the fourth quarter Titans.
Fourth quarter, yeah.
Through the first three quarters, the Titans defense was doing enough wrecking.
They did their job.
Until they didn't in the fourth. So, but that doesn't make me feel good that everyone wrecks the game against the Texans. That means the Jags are likely to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if everyone does it, then the Jags will do it too.
Yeah, well, you know, Davis Mills has starting experience.
Let's hear from him.
In 21 and 22.
He talked about being passed over in 2023.
Like Fredo?
Yeah, we've mentioned it before. How can you be so confident in Davis Mills when the one time he had to really step in, they gave it to Case Keenum? Now, he has started in games more recently than that when the Texans were solidified in their playoff spot. So they're like, hey, get out of here, CJ. Sit down. Davis Mills will play. So he does have more starts since 2023. He'll get one on Sunday. Here's Davis Mills on that moment when Case Keenum, who was listed as third string, started, and what he has done to not let that happen again.
Definitely. I think it leads you to obviously be introspective, kind of look at yourself and what else I could be doing to really gain these guys' trust and be as confident in my abilities as I am in myself. I think I've worked really hard to prove to those guys that I can go out there and be successful day in and day out. And, I mean, I think I've shown that to my teammates as well, so it's going to be fun on Sunday.
When you had those meetings, whether it be after the season or when that decision was made, what was either told to you? Where did you, like, specifically work on gaining that trust?
I mean, I think just my constant mindset coming into work every day. I try to be myself, the same person walking into the building, regardless of what's been said or done to me. I mean, I'm coming here to play football and do my job, and play good football at that. So, I mean, that's the mindset I carry with me. Never get too high on yourself, never get too low on yourself, but kind of have that unwavering confidence to go out there and perform. And I mean, the biggest thing, I feel like I always look at the quarterback as a facilitator. So I got 10 other guys out there on the field with me doing their job at a high level. And when everything starts clicking, I'm just one of those chess pieces.
Davis Mills. Taking accountability for what happened in 2023, it was odd when it happened. I was like, wait a minute, why is your backup quarterback not starting in a game that's important to you? For Case Keenum, of all people, who I know the history here, Case Keenum in Houston, but Davis Mills, your backup, he has started games for the team in the past, and yet he wasn't your choice. And there's Davis Mills on that. So we do now have word from the Frisco police. We had Eric call in wondering what was the word on Marshawn Nealon and what led to him passing away. Well, according to the statement from the Frisco police, Adam Schefter tweeted it out. It appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound, according to the Frisco police. Approximately at 10:39 last night, they responded to a call assisting the Texas DPS. They're trying to locate a vehicle that had evaded troopers during a pursuit. So eventually it appears that Marshawn Nealon fled on foot in Plano. Oh, he's of Plano, excuse me. He fled on foot, and then the officers established a perimeter looking for him. And while I guess in contact with him, or at least the officers received information that Marshawn Nealon had expressed suicidal ideations, he was later located at 1:30 this morning, deceased with what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Now, the official manner of death will be determined by the Collin County Medical Examiner's Office. So there is more information there during a pursuit, after a pursuit with Frisco police. They have determined, at least so far, that a self-inflicted gunshot wound is why Marshawn Nealon passed away. So that is from the Frisco police. If there's anything more to come from that, we'll let you know. But yeah, 24 years old, had what you might consider the biggest moment of his career just a couple of days ago. And now he is no longer with us. So that's very sad, very tragic. We'll let you know if there's anything else there. All right, we'll go to break with that. And we will come back and try to move past that sad news. And then we'll hear from Chandler Rome. Sean, we talked about it somewhat surprisingly yesterday about what, like, two segments on the Astros and what they're going to do to try to bolster this roster after the season ended.
It was aggressive.
The amount of time we spent. Yeah. Well, now we may have an answer from the Chandler Rome has a podcast. I forgot what it's called. Is it called Clutch?
Crush City
or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll get the official name. He has an answer to an Astro question about their pitching staff. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and the best way to make a little bit of money as you're watching these games, and today is a great day to get involved. It's a day that illustrates that you can mix and match different sports, because we got a little bit of college football action, we got a little of professional football action, got a little basketball going on. Let's start off with Thursday Night Football, Broncos Raiders. Brock Bowers, now that he's back healthy, basically when he's been healthy this year, he's caught for over 100 yards and at least one touchdown. Give me Brock Bowers more than 69.5 receiving yards tonight against the Broncos. Give me Byron Brown, the quarterback for South Florida, going up against UTSA. Give me more than 70.5 rushing yards from Byron Brown. He's the type of player where he can get this in one play, really. And I think he's going to be a threat with his legs tonight. And then in basketball, Suns, Clippers, give me Jalen Green making his season debut for the Suns. More 13.5 points. A little too low, I think, for Jalen Green, who should be, I mean, the secondary creator for this Suns team behind Devin Booker. I think he can get score 14 points tonight. So if you like those picks, you can tail them, or you can make your own picks by downloading the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So that podcast for Chandler Rome is Crush City Territory. And he reveals something that I guess we all should have known. He's making it sound like it's a foregone conclusion. The Astros have at least one starter that they may have in their back pocket. Just ready to make the announcement, I guess. Here's Chandler Rome with the possibility of a familiar face returning.
Chandler, why is Justin Verlander not in Houston already? What's going on? It's been way too long.
I think there's a good chance he will be pretty soon. I don't think anything. Always,
they should have announced that as the confetti was falling in Toronto. What's happening?
I would put the odds at greater than 50% that it happens. I've not been told that anything is like tangibly close, but I mean, you don't really have to have like backroom sources or anything to hear this. Like, I mean, Justin Verlander, when the Giants came to Houston this year, like Justin said, like on the rail, like, yeah, I'm always open to coming back here. I want to come back here. He said he called Jim Crane last year when the Giants offered him and said, can you match this? And Jim at the time said they weren't in a position to do that. Like you don't need like some, you don't need to know people to know that. Like he has said that all, it's very clear that Justin Verlander really likes it here. He and Jim Crane are very good friends. I can imagine that if this does get done, it will be a Justin Verlander and Jim Crane negotiation. Mm-hmm. I think Dana would be looped in at the last minute to just let him know that, hey, it's happening. And, but I don't think, I mean, I think a lot of people would look at it as, oh, like, here we go again, but I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world. Justin Verlander was excellent in the second half last year.
That's Chandler Rome on Crush City Territory. Almost feels like we're just waiting for them to decide on the money, what's going to make Justin feel good and the Astros feel good, and we're going to get a deal done, and we're just going to cut out Dana Brown from the equation. Yeah. And I will say one side note to the
just
other
sign
gentleman.
Sign the bottom of the contract there, Dana. All right.
Does he even have to sign it?
I don't know.
I don't know how those work. Does the GM have to be involved? A side note to the other guy with Chandler Rome, there is no confetti in Toronto. The Dodgers won. They're not dropping confetti for the road team. That's just me and my vendetta against confetti overall. Stupid, but whatever. Think about the people who have to clean that up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Out of turf, no less. That'd be tough.
Yeah, even worse. So That's a side
note.
Do
you vacuum that? I don't know.
See? Now you're thinking about how do you get that stuff up? And the people who work at those facilities have to deal with it. It's dumb. But I guess pencil them in as what? Your number three, your number two?
It's like some different version of the Brett Favre Green Bay Packers song and answer five straight years of like, is he going to come back? It's just like, hey, he pitched for a different random NL team. Is he? Yeah, but he's coming back, and we all kind of know it, but we're not announcing it yet. Yeah, I mean, we said yesterday during our abnormally long Astros discussion that the bare minimum for both of us is two starting pitchers back. I think Verlander being one of them is fine. I'm just going to need the, you know, number two, number three starter type that we were talking about. As well as Verlander. I'm not against just bringing him in, seeing what he's got, and being an extra arm in the rotation. I mean, he probably won't be able to be on, like, a full workload and be, you know, Justin Verlander Vold and replace those Framber Valdez innings. Like, he probably won't be able to do that. But I think if he's, you know, just the fifth starter for your team, fourth, fifth starter, that's perfectly fine with me.
Yeah, he had a bad start to the month of July. Where his ERA, at least for the month, was 5.4. But particularly as you moved into August and then September, he was good. Yeah. I mean, the ERA in September was...
That's why I'm, open to it.
2.08. Yeah. So he was on it. Had went deep in a couple of games, seven innings a couple of times, then six in a other couple of times in that month of September. So... he got it going. Now, the record, 4-11, is not going to be great, but it's not commiserate with the numbers that are solely on him for the most part because, you know, can't be responsible for how many runs that you get in support. So it is an old name, a comfortable one. It for the common fan, for the fan who loves it to have and wear the Verlander jersey, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a little... we doing this again? That type of feeling when I hear it, but like you said, if he is supplementary, not the big move, but if he's complementary to Hunter Brown and maybe another guy who you might consider a 2-3 type, then sure, bring him back if he's going to pitch like he did, particularly in August and September. So that apparently is something to be on the lookout for. Whenever the Astros and Justin Verlander actually really sit down seriously to talk about compensation.
I do like having a deal that's like, all right, we just kind of have that in our back pocket. Of like,
yeah, and then you can work.
We know. And just, for us, we're like, okay, so we know that we're going to have a Justin Verlander signs with the Astros day. All right, cool. Cool, maybe a press conference. Is he still a press conference level signing? For what he, you know, big letters means to the club.
For a guy who you would ask, with maybe not even ask, you just assume the number is going to get retired, I think you probably do the presser.
Okay. I'm not against it. It's just he must lead the league in press conferences for the Houston Astros. Introductory press conferences for the Astros.
It makes all those tribute videos a little hollow, too, at this point. He's just going to come back again.
And guess what? When he, you know... When he pitches his last game ever for the... when he announces his retirement, he pitches the last game ever for the Astros. Guess what they're going to have at the start of that game?
I don't remember the timelines. When he joined the Mets, did he ever come back and pitch in Houston?
I don't think he pitched against the Astros.
So he didn't...
or he, at least not in Minute Maid. I think they might have played in Citi Field, but I'm not sure if he actually pitched.
Okay, so he didn't get a tribute video.
No, he didn't get... no.
And did he pitch as a Giant against the Astros? So he may have never gotten a tribute video. Or they would either way.
But yeah, they show it before games.
Even if he never pitched. Yeah. So, like I said, tribute video? I mean, if he's just going to come back here every couple years anyway.
Every 18 months.
Yeah, what's the
less
point?
Less than 18 months this time.
Yeah, what's the point? So there it is. Get excited, everybody.
Actually, they're all like within a year came back.
It just decreases... the emotion the importance of the video if we're just going to see this guy in about 15, 18 months because you can't quit each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a relationship. You know, like Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers had like a similar thing where he kind of did the Roger Clemens, thing the last couple of years where he would only pitch the second half of the season. They would just kind of time it up so he could get through it. The Astros are like, and Verlander are almost like the toxic relationship version of that, or like the like friend who always breaks up with the same girlfriend and gets back together. That is what the Astros, and it's not acrimonious. It's just part of the deal, you know?
There's a comfort there.
We're just
going to
take a break every once in a while.
You know, they see each other out at a party and go, you know what?
I remember.
This is easy, us going back and forth talking to each other.
We need a fifth starter? You know, you're a fifth starter?
I mean,
it's easy.
I don't have nothing going on right now. You don't have nothing going on. There's no, we don't have to treat this as a serious thing, but hey, it's fun when we're together.
Yeah.
Together, right? Right. And hey, a month or two hanging out, it's cool. But we both know. This is a short time thing. Justin Verlander is not officially back, but be on the lookout for it.
Yeah. You might have. Yeah, I mean, he's not officially back.
He's not officially back, but
Chandler, likely an Astro.
Chandler Rome, one of our trusted reporters when it comes to Astros news, just pretty much telling you, get ready to dry clean that jersey.
Yeah.
When you want to wear it out again.
Although, like, all he cited was that Justin Verlander just said he would be open to returning.
But he made it sound like it's just an open secret that this is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. The way he delivered it.
Yeah, he was like, you don't even really have to have inside information to know this is going to happen.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh.
Hey.
Now I feel bad.
Hey, how about
this? I don't have insider information. I didn't know that.
Hey, Chandler, sell your importance a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
make it seem like you have an exclusive here.
I just got off the phone with some very important people.
Something.
And they tell me.
I've been talking to people, anonymous people. Something like that to let you know that this thing is well on its way to work out.
Among people that really know in league circles, this is a done. Like, that's how you have to do it. He did the opposite of that. It's like, you don't have to be in league circles to know. No. Give me the, you know.
Hey, man. It should have been the Chandler Rome exclusive.
In a cigar smoke filled room. Here's what we're talking
now
about.
Now I just feel like if I had walked by Minute Maid, someone would have yelled it out. Verlander's coming back.
Yeah.
Instead,
I bump into Dana. Oh, actually, not Dana Brown. No idea that this happens.
Yeah. Dana. Hey,
if I bumped into Jim Crane on the golf course, it'd just be like, hey, by the way, hope you still got your Verlander jersey. What? What was that, Jim?
The guy who drives a train knew. Everyone knows.
Bobby Dynamite.
Yeah, Bobby Dynamite knows. He's the one who told Chandler.
Orbit knows.
I'm sure he does too. All right, we'll go to break with that.
It's great for the HEB commercial.
Verlander appears to be well on his way to being a Astro again, if we go by what we just heard. All right, hour one's done. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Sean, I don't know if we've done many get-to-know-Sean segments. They just happen organically.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question about your musical taste.
Okay.
And then you're going to play some music.
Okay.
And I don't know if it fits what you might put on a playlist, but maybe the person doing the singing might get you into the music. It's going to be a surprise to many once you hear the voice, unless you know the story already. But I don't think this has ever been done at a pageant before. But we'll get to that when we come back.